So remain seated. We'll read our text, Joshua chapter 2. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 8, and we'll read all the way to verse number 21. Joshua chapter 2. Remember that you have Joshua who sent off the two spies into Jericho to spy out really the military might of this place that they're going to go. I don't think that this was really a lack of faith on Joshua's part. I mean, he knew that God was going to give them the city of Jericho, but in a strategic sort of way, just going in and analyzing what they're going to be coming against. So the two spies came into Jericho, and they found there would have been quickly an opposition towards them as they were discovered. These spies who would have been undercover, we talked about last week, but were discovered. And so they sought refuge in the house of Rahab. And so Rahab then hid these men. And so now we have the story go on here where now the delegates from the king had come, and verse 1 through 7 is what we're talking about, had come to seek out these spies and to take them and arrest them and do away with them and take care of this issue. They're hid in the home of Rahab. And now Rahab is going to have a conversation with these spies before she lets them out the window, and then they escape. But look at verse number 8, and we'll see how this goes. And before they were laid down, she came, this is Rahab, came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Note that what she just said there. It's like, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. So she is confident that God is going to give the nation of Israel the land of Jericho, which is where she's from. And she sees something. She's going to tell us what she sees, but I mean, that's a pretty telling, confession there. I know that God is going to give you the land. And she goes on, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. And here's why. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. By the way, that was 40 years ago. This is a widely reported thing. I mean, this was well known that look what God did. He dried up the land, or rather the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry ground. So they knew about this. It goes on, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordans, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. So that's their military might. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And really, that's what it's all about, right? Amen. By the way, you'd be wise tonight to make that acknowledgement too. God is the God of heaven above, and he's the God of the earth beneath. Amen. It sounds like El Elyon in Genesis chapter 14. El Elyon means the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. You know what heaven is? That's anything that's not on earth, right? And the earth is everything that's on earth. So God owns the heavens and the earth, which means it all. God owns it all. He owns it all. And that's really what she's saying here. I mean, God owns it all. He's in control of it all. This is the true God. Now, verse 12. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother, my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit from thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Tonight we're going to be talking about fighting against God. And I want you to know, if you decide to fight it against God, you will lose. Amen. That's the title tonight. You will lose if you fight against God. That's what Rahab knew. She knew that God had already won. Amen. And if you fight against Him, you've already lost. We should see that tonight and ask God to help us to get on God's side. Father, we love you. We pray your blessings and help tonight. We need you. Without you, we can do nothing. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the hope we have in you. Touch your people tonight. We need to see you. We need to hear from you. Help us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When the boys were little, we would arm wrestle. That's my favorite thing, when the boys were little anyway. I might challenge Caleb to an arm wrestle. He worked out this morning. He's really sore, so I think I can beat him. Normally, I'm not sure, but when they were small, though, I'm like, let's go. Because, I mean, I'd just put my arm on the table, and they would, you know, they would put their hand on there, and, I mean, they're not moving. They're not moving my arm. I mean, it's just there. And then they do two arms. You know how it is, right? Two arms. And then they're going to try to move dad's. I'm talking about when they were small, right? And they can't move my arm. And then they're putting their whole body on it. And then it's a group effort. I mean, whenever it starts stacking up, two against one, three against one, I mean, they're just starting to budge dad. But in the end, here's what I know about this. I'm going to let the arm just stay there as long as I want to. And then whenever the time is right, the arm's going down and the bodies are flying. Because dad's going to win. Dad's going to win. You can't beat dad, like whenever you're this small anyway, right? That's what it's like when we fight against God. You fight against God, you're not going to win. And think about this. God could crush you at any moment. He could crush you. And I'm talking about the times when we know we're not on the right path. Our thinking isn't right. Our heart isn't right. We're not doing right. And let's not act like we don't all struggle with this sometimes. I mean, it comes on us. The attacks are there. The flesh is there. The sin can come our way. And we think, well, you know, this will be okay. I can make this. I can make this work. But it's like we're a toddler on God's arm. God's not going to budge on this. And note this. If He wanted to, He could crush us at any moment. He could just take us straight down. But that's the mercy of God, isn't it? That He doesn't crush us, that He doesn't take us down, that He doesn't destroy us each and every time we fail or we fight against Him. In His mercy, He holds strong, He reminds us, He convicts us, He shows us, hey, listen, you need to stop fighting against me. You're not going to budge me, number one, but if you fight against me, there's going to be a judgment day that's going to come, and you're going to be crushed. And it's not as though God in heaven is just waiting for the times when we make mistakes. No, no, no. He loves us, and He wants to reveal His mercy in our life. He wants to reveal His grace in our life. And He's constantly working to pour grace in on us so that we could see His love, so we can feel His love, so we can see His hand and His touch. And by the way, that's what conviction is. Conviction is the grace of God. You should be thankful for conviction, even though it makes you miserable and makes you feel sick about right here, you know? You're like, man, I can't believe that sin in my life. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I'm allowing these things to happen. But conviction is God saying, listen, I love you, and I'm going to give grace to you if you'll just turn back to me, if you'll stop trying to fight against me, which it's a battle you can't win, then I'll reveal mercy in your life. And so fighting against God is sort of like trying to beat dad in an arm wrestling match when you're a toddler. You're not going to win, and eventually you're going to get crushed. Now Rahab understood that. I mean, she knew that Israel had already won the battle. She knew that was true. She knew that if anybody in Jericho was going to try to fight against Israel, they were going to be crushed. And because she understood that, you know what? It stirred something in her. It did something in her to say, I don't want to be on the wrong side of this. I don't think that I want to be on the side that's going to fight against the God of the children of Israel. And so I'm going to do what I can do so that in faith I might apply myself towards the God of Israel. I might seek Him. I might be on the side of God's people and on the side of God. She understood that. Look at verse number 8 again in our text. And we're going to track through this. And before they were laid down, so this is Rahab coming up to the roof, and she's having some dialogue with the spies that she was hiding. In verse number 9, she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. And then she speaks of the terror that's there. She's speaking of the testimony of Israel, the testimony of the God of Israel, and what God had done in the nation of Israel as He brought them over the Red Sea on dry ground, and they defeated the kings of Sihon and Og. And these are, by the way, mighty kingdoms to the eyes of those residents in the city of Jericho. And so this would have brought terror to anyone who would have been seeing in the near future that the children of Israel would come across and have a conflict against the city of Jericho. And so there was terror there. What Rahab knew was that the hand of God was on the nation of Israel. She knew that. And by the way, the people of the city of Jericho knew the hand of God was on them. And they, because of that, she concluded that there can't be a victory here. There cannot be, we can't win this because of the power of God. Look what it goes on to say in verse number 11. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. She says, neither did there remain any more courage in any man. And so for those who saw the work of God, the hand of God, the power of God working through the nation of Israel, and the victories that God had given them already, just the thought of going against that God, it caused their hearts to melt. It caused them to be filled with terror, as she had said, and their hearts to melt, but to understand that if they were to go against the nation of Israel, they would be just like the cities of Sihon and Og. They would be destroyed too. And you know what's amazing is how this can be true for us, that we know if we fight against God, we're going to lose and we're going to be crushed, but yet we still fight against Him. We still allow our flesh to win in the sense that we feel like we can continue to do the things that we're doing, even knowing that we're not doing what God wants us to do. We're not thinking right. Our behavior isn't right. Our actions aren't right. Our heart isn't right. And we know if we continue down this path, we're going to be crushed. Not because God wants to crush us, but because there is a consequence to those kinds of decisions. God doesn't, you know, just scoot rebellion against Him under the rug. As a matter of fact, we studied through the book of Hosea, and it was like one thing after another where God was showing them that, listen, you're in rebellion against me. It's going to bring judgment against you. You can't scoot this under the rug. There will be consequences to the sin, to these decisions. And so we know that God reveals that to us, and we get convicted about it. But yet we still continue to fight against Him, thinking, well, maybe it won't be so bad. Maybe we can win this one. Maybe we can hold on to this and it won't reveal itself in judgment. This would have been sort of like the city of Jericho, who would have known, even though their hearts were in terror, they didn't have the same spirit as Rahab or the same perspective as Rahab, who wanted to repent and let God be the one who was in control, but they would continue to seek to fight against what they saw God had done, the people of God, the work of God, the hand of God. And so we can be that way too. Let's go on. Look what it says in verse number 12. Now therefore, she says, I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. So she asks for her family to be saved. You know, this is amazing to me. What she's doing here is she's declaring her faith in the God of the nation of Israel. She's declaring her faith. in the one who was the one who was the true God of heaven and earth. And then she in that after that declaration of faith, she asked for salvation. She asked that she would be saved. Her family would be saved. You know, honestly, the salvation of a soul is not any different than that. In the sense that you see God and He convicts your soul. And you know you need to be saved because you know that you are lost without God. You're lost without Him. There's no victory. There's no salvation without God. You will be lost. And you get convicted about it. We talked about that on Sunday morning, didn't we? Well, it's right here. And by the way, it's a constant theme all through the Scriptures. I preach like this. I mean, I try to preach the same every time I preach, you know. And so I'm preaching the Word. But here's what I don't know. I don't know what each of us have a need of tonight. I mean, how could I possibly know that? I know what God's doing in my heart. I know how when I preach, by the way, when you are the preacher, you're still getting preached at, even though you're the one saying it. You pray for me. Thank you, Brother Mike. You pray for me that I say what God wants me to say. And I won't let my flesh get in the way. No, I don't want to say that. You know why I wouldn't want to say something? It's because it maybe convicts me a little bit too much. I'm like, oh, I won't say that. That convicts me. Or maybe I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. No. It's not about my feelings. It's not about your feelings. It's about the Word of God, the message of God. We need to hear from Him. And I know what He's doing in me, but I don't know what He's doing in you exactly. And so we preach the Word and we say what God wants us to say. And then God touches you. Sorry. I'm going to go this way. Getting a little excited. It starts coming out, you know. I mean, a little bit too much comes out. Not just words, if you know what I mean. So God starts working in our hearts and He reveals Himself to us. Our eyes are opened. And it might be that along the way you've had religion and you grew up and you're in church. Grew up meaning in church, and you're in church and you're religious and you do the thing where you come and you sing and you give and you do all the things and you come to the altar and you do all the things you need to do. But in your soul you know you're lost. Now, how could you know that? Because the pastor? No. The Holy Spirit, like Rahab, she knows that if they fight against God, they've already lost. And she realized it. And she was convicted about it. And she asked for salvation because she knew she was lost without God. That's what happens to us. He's like, well, you know, that's what happens to visitors. No. You've got it wrong. It's what happens to anybody who's lost. Whether you're a visitor or you're a member of Western Hills Baptist Church. Being a member doesn't make you saved. There was a man who was sitting right over here. His name's Marvin, not in this church, but in Nebraska. I've talked about Brother Marvin before. Brother Marvin's a member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church there in Falls City, Nebraska. He was a member in 1980, which is like before I was born. Baptized at that church where I'm the pastor of. And he came to the altar after I preached a message, and I met him at the altar. And I said, Brother Marvin, why did you come to the altar? And he said, Pastor, I need to be saved. Amen. So if a man who was baptized in a church in 1980 comes to the altar and says, I need to be saved, who is it that convinces him that he needs to be saved? It's not the pastor. I thought he was saved. But it was God. God said, you're lost and you need to be saved. Listen, I want to tell you something tonight, friends and church family and loved ones. If you're lost, you need to realize that tonight. You need to let the Holy Ghost touch your heart and convince you that you need to be saved. Amen. And so that you will, from that with that conviction in your soul, make a decision to turn your heart to Christ before it's too late. Right. To like the woman Rahab who says these words, I need to be saved. Or she didn't say those exact words, but she's asking for salvation. How can I be saved from destruction? We need that. We need to be touched like that. I didn't mean or purpose for this sermon to be a salvation sermon necessarily, but God is taking it that way. And there might be somebody tonight who needs to be saved. And listen, if God's touching you that way, don't fight against Him. You know why? You know why you need to decide to stop fighting against God if He's touching your heart? Because you will lose. You will lose. If you fight against God, you will lose. And she knew that. She's like, I'm not going to fight against God. In fact, I'm done fighting against God. I don't want to fight against God. I want to be on God's side. And so she does. Look at verse 15. Then she let them down by the cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. So the imagery is that she lives on the wall that made up the walls of Jericho, and she lets them down through a window from the top of this house, and as she's letting them down, she begins to have dialogue with them. And she wants to get them safely away, so she tells them to go to the mountain and to wait a few days and for this, this group of soldiers who would have went out looking for them so that they would make their way back to the city and then the spies could escape safely. She gives them these instructions. And then she asks for a sign. She asks for a way to know that she can be saved. And you know what these spies told her? They said, what you can do that will secure your salvation, will secure your ability to be saved from the conflict that's coming and not to be destroyed, is that you would take this scarlet cord and you would tie it in the window. And anybody who's within your home, the home that has the scarlet cord of the window that you just now let us out, anybody who's in that home, they will be saved from the destruction. They will be saved from the conflict that's coming. And everything that I see as I'm studying out what is the scarlet cord and what does it represent? It represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so obvious that He's the way we're saved. You don't save yourself. You cannot save yourself. You're lost without Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
But in Him, there's mercy. Think about that.
Amen.
In Him, there's mercy.
Amen.
We don't deserve His mercy. We don't deserve His grace.
Yeah. Right.
But in Christ, there's mercy available. There's grace available. You can be saved in Jesus. You can be saved in Him. If you've been fighting against God, if you've been kicking against Him and He's pricking your heart, drawing you to salvation, you can tonight decide to say, I don't want to fight against God anymore. I know I'm lost. I know I'll remain lost. I know I'll be destroyed. And I'm ready tonight to turn my heart to Him before it's too late. Then you can stop fighting against God. You can come to the altar and you can turn your heart to Him in salvation. You can secure the scarlet cord to the window of your heart, and you can be saved for all of eternity because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! You can have that. It's available to you tonight. But did you know if you're already saved that mercy is available to you if you've been fighting against God in some kind of a sin you've attached yourself to, some kind of a lust that you've allowed to take up residence in your soul, and it's controlling your thinking and it's controlling your heart and it's caused you grief in your soul, and you know down in the depths that you're not on the right path and you're not thinking right and your heart isn't right. You have salvation. You're secure in Jesus. The scarlet cord is secured to your soul, the window of your soul, but your heart isn't where it needs to be. The fellowship isn't right, and you know that you've been fighting against Him. Did you know that mercy is available to you tonight in Jesus? God isn't ready. God isn't ready to just kick you in the seat of your pants. He doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
What He wants to, He doesn't want to crush you under the load that He can bring down on you. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to reveal mercy to you.
Amen.
And so He holds and He waits. He's long-suffering, isn't He?
Yeah.
We serve a long-suffering God. And you can come back to Him.
Yeah.
You can make it right. You can stop fighting against Him. That's beautiful.
Amen.
That's incredible.
Amen.
It's amazing.
Amen.
I'm thankful for it, aren't you?
Yes.
By the way, when we fight against God, we're like, yeah, I'm going to beat God. I'm going to win. This is going to be good. And I'm going to have victory, and it's going to be great. And you think you can bring victory to your life? And what you'll find is you're not budging God, but it brings grief to your own soul.
Yes.
And then you stop fighting God, and then it replaced all of that grief with peace. And then life is good, and your relationships are all right. Everything is right. Everything is good. And then you'll wonder all the time, why did I wait so long to do this? Why did I fight with God in the first place? I mean, being on God's side is way better. I mean, I don't have to struggle anymore. I don't have to have burdens and grief and sorrow and twisting and turning on the inside. I don't have to have that anymore. I can have peace. I can have joy. The scarlet cord is available to you tonight so that you can, in His mercy, make it right. You're like, well, I got to wait until next week before I can get it right. No, you don't. You can get it right tonight. I mean, you don't have to wait even, you don't have to even wait till the invitation. Like, if you're there, you could, I mean, listen, Sunday mornings, there's like four people who fall asleep every Sunday. I don't know. It's not always the same person. Sometimes it is. You don't know who it is because I'm pretty gracious, aren't I? Yes, I am. But you're out there. If you bow your head and close your eyes because you need to get right with God before the altar call comes, I'm not going to call you out for being asleep. You don't even have to wait.
Yeah. Amen.
You can stop fighting God right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight Him anymore.
Right.
When the boys were real small, I talked about them being small and arm wrestling. When they were real small, we used to play a game called Taking Out the Trash. You're like, what is this? So what I would do, remember that, taking out the trash? I'd take the boys and I'd put them on a blanket on the floor in the living room. And then I would take the four ends of the blanket and I would bring it together. And then I would throw that blanket over my shoulder with the kid in it. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm taking out the trash. And I would just walk around in the living room with the boys in the blanket and I would spin it around. And my wife's like, oh, they're gonna drop them or hit the wall. They'll be all right, you know. They fell off the bed when they were little anyway, so. No, they didn't. I was just kidding. So I'm spinning around. We're taking out the trash. You know what I never actually did? I never actually put them in the trash can. You know? I spun them around. I would spin them, you know, two or three times and throw them against the couch. I almost missed once. But I never actually, watch this, I never actually took them to the actual trash can. I never did that. God's not going to take you to the trash.
Amen.
He doesn't want to take you out. He doesn't want to see things destroyed in your life.
Yeah.
He wants to reveal His mercy to you.
Amen.
He wants, watch this, this is good. God wants to see you, like Rahab, saved. He wants to see you saved. He wants to see you free. He wants to see you redeemed. Revived, joyous again,
right.
Filled up again. Remember those times in your spirit when you feel like you're not even walking?
Yep.
You're just like, wow, this is a blessing. God is good. Am I even walking right now? God is so good. And some of us, we haven't had that for a while.
Come on.
And what we need tonight is we need to stop fighting against God.
Amen.
You're fighting against God and He's not budging. And you're struggling. And you're thinking it's going to be okay. It's going to work out. It's not going to work out.
Right.
You cannot beat God.
Amen.
You can be crushed. You can be destroyed. You're not going to beat God. If you fight against God, you've lost already.
Right. Right.
You've already lost.
That's good.
So what do we do? What do we do with this message? I think it's time to submit to Him.
Amen.
Don't you?
Yep.
I think it's time to surrender. Pull up the white flag.
Come on.
I don't want to fight against You anymore, Lord. I feel pretty miserable about how I've been and how this has been. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
It's exhausting to fight against God.
Right.
I don't want to fight anymore. I want to surrender. It's amazing when we finally give in and we finally surrender and we finally submit to God. He makes everything right.
Yeah.
All the battle is gone. All the grief is gone. All the sorrow is gone. It replaces it with peace. And all the things we felt like we would lose, and all the things that we felt like we would lose in the conflict, and the reason why we're fighting against God in the first place, God replaces it with something even better. God makes things right. And all the things that we were nervous about, God sets it on the right path.
Amen.
So that, like we said just a moment ago, we get in the end, we think, why did I wait so long to do this? There's nothing like just being right with God.
Amen.
And walking with Him and letting Him win. Letting Him win in our soul.
Amen.
God, I need to hear from You. I need You to do something in me. You know what the scarlet cord represents. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's freedom. It's salvation. But listen to who God is. He is all powerful.
Amen.
God is all powerful. There's no battle that God can't win. Are you in a battle right now? I'm like, oh, good night. I am in a battle. There's no battle God can't win. You just need to stop fighting against God and fight with Him.
Amen.
Let Him fight for you.
Amen.
He can win that battle. He's all powerful.
Amen.
Listen to this. He's Elohim. I think we were saying some about this earlier. El Elyon. He's Elohim. That's the first mention of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is Elohim. It means mighty, strong, creator. That's who He is. He can only be who He is.
Right.
He's strong. He's mighty. You know how strong He is? Nobody can defeat Him. Nobody can defeat God.
Amen.
He's strong. He's mighty. He's Jehovah Sabaoth.
Right.
It means the Lord of hosts.
Right.
The Lord of the angelic host. It means God's the commander.
Right.
God is the commander.
God.
I mean of the winning army.
Yep. Yep.
He's Jehovah Sabaoth. Let me give you one more. And this is my favorite. And we're going to finish with this one. Jehovah Nisi. Woo! This one gets me lit up, guys. I'm already lit up, but this one's going to get me. I might set on fire on this one.
Come on.
Jehovah Nisi. You know who that? What that means? It means God, the Lord is our banner of victory. Now let me explain to you how it means that. In the book of Exodus chapter 17, the nation of Israel was going into conflict against Amalek. And Amalek was, Joshua was the general of the Israeli army, of the Hebrew army. And they were coming against Amalek in this battle. Moses was on the mountain and he was holding up the rod of God. The scriptures say that as the rod of God was held high, Joshua and the nation of Israel was winning the victory in the battle against Amalek. But man, you ever try to hold something up for a long time? Like when dad would say, hey, hold up the sheetrock on the ceiling, you know? And you're like, I can't do this. I cannot do this. It's coming down, dad. Our arms get tired. And Moses' arms began to get tired and the rod came down. Watch this. When the rod came down, then Israel was losing the conflict. The rod had to be held high. And so Aaron got on one arm and he was holding his arm up. And Hur got on the other arm and he's holding his arms up. And what's happened is the banner, the rod of God is held high, and when the rod of God is held high, there's victory. Do you know who the banner is? Do you know who the rod is? The rod is God. The banner is God. And when you hold God high, you'll win the victory. As a matter of fact, you can't lose. When you hold God high, you can't lose. That's what it means. It means God is mighty. It means God is strong. It means nobody can defeat God, not even you. You can fight and you can fight and you can fight. You'll wear yourself out, but you'll never win. Nobody can defeat God. He is our banner of victory. If you hold Him high, you win. It's the scarlet cord. Attach it to the window of your heart again tonight. God, I don't want to fight against you anymore. I just don't want to fight. I'm tired of fighting. It's a hard life to fight against God. It's exhausting too. Surrender. Pastor, I need to be saved. Stop fighting. Turn your heart to Him. Like, but everybody thinks I'm saved. Who cares what everybody thinks? Get it settled. That's what matters. Do you know you need to be saved? Yes. That's enough. That's enough. If you know you need to be saved, that's enough. Get it settled. Stop fighting. That's the banner of victory. You've been fighting, you're saved, but you've been fighting God. Whew, and you're wore out and stressed and worried and fretting and biting your nails and anguish and sorrow, and you're ready to stop fighting. Let me encourage you tonight to come to the altar wherever you are and tie the scarlet cord to your soul, the window of your heart, and say, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not fighting God anymore. I surrender all.
Amen.
I surrender.